Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter whether your ancestors landed here on Ellis Island or came here on slave ships or came across the Rio Grande, we are all connected. We will rise and fall together. That's the vision of America that I've got. That's the idea at the heart of America. That's the idea at the heart of our campaign.
He is the anti-president. He is the anti-American presidential candidate. Here is a man who is supposed to uphold the law of the land, celebrating illegal aliens who snuck into America, and most of whom, let us put it to you this way, that the tens of billions of dollars that the states are behind the eight ball with, primarily caused by illegal aliens and their services, just jails alone have bankrupted California. California spends more on jails for illegal aliens than they do on schools. And here is the president of the United States saying that whether your ancestors came through Ellis Island in an orderly, legal fashion, or they snuck in crossing the Rio Grande, they're all the same to him. That's the vision he has for America. He says the heart of America, and that's the idea or the heart of his campaign. Well, let's look at another aspect of his campaign and the heart of his campaign and how corporations such as General Electric pay no income tax. We all hear about how GE made $4.5 billion domestically and paid nothing. Or Cisco paid no or very low U.S. taxes. How did they do it? Well, for one, they own the government. Or shall I say they do each other favors? Normally, if you're a family business or a corporation, you know that you're taxed at a corporate rate of 35%. 35% is what corporations pay. So how could General Electric pay nothing? Well, you see, it's the old adage. If you rob a loaf of bread, you go to jail for 3 years. If you rob $10 billion, you go to the head of the SEC. So how does General Electric, according to the New York Times, pay no U.S. taxes for 2010, despite reporting worldwide profits of $14.2 billion, including $5.1 billion earned in the United States? We understand that with the foreign profits, they can defer payments, saying that it's overseas income and they're going to pay the tax in the overseas countries. But as a matter of fact, General Electric earned $5 billion in the U.S. and paid nothing. How did they do it? Well, it's a very interesting game. Number one, they buy off the government. That's number one. I cannot go into every detail, but there's a fabulous article on this written by a Kathleen Pender, which we're going to link up on michaelsavage.com. Let me summarize it for you so that you understand it. Bloomberg Businessweek reported that Google, wonderful group of individuals they are, good friends of Nancy Pelosi, Google used the convoluted process known as the double Irish and the Dutch sandwich to cut its overseas tax rate to just 2.4% between 07 and 09. How would you like to have been paying only 2.4% of your income between 07 and 09? Wouldn't you feel good today? You probably paid closer to 40% with all of your state taxes and your local taxes. How about General Electric, a good friend of Obama? According to the New York Times, paid no U.S. taxes for 2010, despite reporting worldwide profits of $14.2 billion, including $5.1 billion earned in the United States. How did they do it? Well, they used a variety of tax breaks, including a so-called active financing exclusion, which is just a made-up excuse that lets it defer U.S. tax on foreign lending income. Generally, U.S. companies pay no tax on their foreign profits until they repatriate them or bring them back home. But rather than pay the tax, most U.S. multinationals let their overseas profits accumulate offshore until they can persuade Congress to give them a tax holiday on repatriated profits, and it's been done before. In 2004, the crooks in Congress passed a law that gave U.S. companies a one-time chance to repatriate their foreign profits at a low tax rate of 5.25%. And then what would happen? Well, the companies argued that they would use the profits to increase spending and hiring domestically, and that getting a 5% tax price would be better than getting nothing if the companies never brought their earnings home. But they lied. They didn't spend the money here, and they're about to do it again. According to the IRS, 843 corporations took advantage of this tax holiday to repatriate $362 billion, of which $312 billion qualified for the tax break. And although these crooked companies say they used the money as Congress intended, many studies found they did not, and I'm not going to point it out to you. You want to hear the names of some of these wonderful, patriotic American companies? A report by the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities said that companies including Hewlett-Packard, Pfizer, Ford, Merck, and Honeywell announced large layoffs shortly after repatriating funds at a very low tax rate. Now companies such as Cisco, Oracle, and Google are lobbying for another repatriation holiday, saying it could bring back up to $1 trillion in foreign earnings. I say, well, you know what I say, but it's nonsense. It's all a scam. So now you've learned why you're behind the eight ball and why the multinationals are laughing all the way to the White House. 1-800-449-8255. Did you listen to the opening? Obama, the chief executive of the United States of America, the man who was supposed to uphold the laws of the United States of America, says that even though your ancestors waited online to become a citizen, those who sneak across the border from the Rio Grande are just the same to him. The man is the anti-president. The man is the anti-American presidential candidate. It makes my stomach turn. You know, today I was walking around San Francisco before the radio show, and I love this city. I don't necessarily love the politics. I ignore the politics, but I love the city. I love the downtown particularly. And I pass an Immigration and Naturalization Service building, and there was a line wrapped around the block. I saw people mainly from Asia and from Latin America waiting patiently online for their green cards or whatever they were waiting for. My first instinct was, they're just like my grandfather. Maybe they want to start a new life here. Maybe they're fleeing oppression in their land. And I said, well, you're the son of an immigrant. You can understand that. So they're waiting online for their green card, their promise of a citizenship. It's a great thing to have. And my second thought was, wait a minute. The lifeboat is sinking. The lifeboat is sinking. We're broke. We can't afford any more immigrants. What we need is an immigration holiday. No immigrants. Slam the door shut, legal or illegal. We can't afford it. The country is broke. And yet we have a president who says, whether you come here legally or you sneak in, it's all the same to him. How can he remain in office one day, I ask myself, with such corruption, with such evil coming out of this White House? It's seeping out like pus out of a you know, this man, when he talks and I hear what he has to say, I feel like I'm looking at pus coming out of a wound. I don't have any other words for it. How does he let his friend Jeff Immelt of GE get away without paying taxes? How can any liberal listening to this show say you think that's a good thing? How could you idiots say that's wonderful? Why? Because he owns NBC and MSNBC, and you like the communist propaganda you hear? Say that GE should pay no taxes because they work for Obama? It's unbelievable to me. So there it is, how corporations avoid paying income taxes. Sacramento, Mark, you on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I'm one of those red diaper doper babies. Those are the people who complain about corporate welfare. I was wondering why you hate the red diaper doper babies.
You're not making any sense. So you approve of General Electric not paying taxes?
I'm one of those red diaper dopey babies who do not approve, and we've not approved for thousands of years about corporate welfare.
Thousands of years? Yeah. America's not been a country for thousands of years, Mark.
We were against corporate welfare, and you always...
Wait, hold on. You're against corporate welfare thousands of years ago?
Come on, Michael. You know what I'm saying. I'm saying you always...
Oh, please. Okay. I know you're nervous. That's okay. I don't mean to trip you up. So here, we agree on corporate taxes, correct?
You hate San Francisco, right? You hate the people who live there.
Wait, what did I just say? I said I love the city but hate the politics. Isn't that... Wait, stop. I just said I love the city but can't stand the... I ignore the politics. That's what I actually said.
The people in San Francisco do not like corporate welfare. They're out in the streets against it, and you always call them red diaper doper babies.
Well, they are red diaper doper babies because they also don't like the middle class, not just the multinationals. They hate the whole society, don't they?
No, they do not hate the middle
class. Aren't you an anarchist, Mark, who would like to bring it all down, girl?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you an anarchist who would like to tear the whole structure down and rebuild it?
We'd like to tear down the corporate welfare. like you're talking about. We agree with
you. So then we agree on, when you say corporate, though, you got to be very careful. You're not talking about all American corporations, Mark. It's only a select few of the mega corporations that are getting away with it, Mark.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So, look, you see, the funny thing is that politics makes strange bedfellows. The far left and the right agree on many things. How do you feel about illegal aliens coming into this country? Why would you be in favor of that?
I am not in favor of that. Just as yourself, do not put us pigeonhole, and we will not, and don't pigeonhole me, and I will not pigeonhole you. Is that the deal?
I won't pigeonhole you. No, I will not pigeonhole you. I will not pigeonhole you. Thank you for the call. I will not pigeonhole you. I promise. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We've been pretty busy, and yet our work is not finished.
Oh God.
It is going to, our work is not finished.
Oh God.
It is going to take more than a couple of years.
Oh God.
It is going to take more than one term for us to finish everything that we need to do.
Sure, finish, put the last nail in the coffin of this great republic, you anti-American, you. Tomorrow is Good Friday, as those of you who are observant know. And public schools will be closed so the children can stay home and snort glue. Federal, state, and county government offices will be open so that the federal, state, and county workers can declare themselves victims of some kind of crime and go see the EEOC. Post offices will be open so that the postal trucks can continue to emit high carbon fumes, delivering mail that nobody needs. The stock markets will be closed so that the brokers can collude with the government agents to get away with even more trash. Banks may be open, but check with your individual bank to make sure to see if they're still in business. That's Good Friday. Of course, Sunday's Easter Sunday. It's a very important holiday. I just got to really... Friday... You know, it's a terrible day in a way. It's the day Jesus was crucified. And Easter Sunday is the day that the resurrection occurred. I just got a kind of nasty email from an atheist. I won't even read his name. He said, "Hey, Mike, if the resurrection lasts more than 4 hours, should we call a doctor?" That's below the belt. I mean, really, come on, cut it out. You know, there are people who are devout and they believe in, you know, in religion. You don't have to do that. Would you dare do that and talk about Islam the same way? Of course you wouldn't. See what goes on? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. What else is in the news? Immigration. Obama says if you sneak into America or you wait online, it's the same to him. Then, to top it off, he went and spoke to the people at Facebook with a staged, instead of an open question and answer session, it was all staged as in a Stalinist staging. And he spoke to Mark Zuckerberg, the pimple-faced billionaire, who couldn't get over himself. Listen to clip four.
More and more, a lot of government officials and candidates and folks are also using Facebook to share their views with the people who are following them.
Really?
Sorry, I'm kind of nervous. We have the President of the United States here.
You schmuck, you. You stupid schmuck. You stupid lucky schmuck, you. Go ahead, clip five now.
So, it is our honor to welcome to Facebook the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Isn't that great? Isn't that great, the government media complex? Isn't it wonderful how he owns them all? It's unbelievable to me how they just are playing right into this man's hands like putty. As smart as they think they are, they haven't any idea what's coming. These are ignoramuses. That's right. We learned that billionaires can be idiots. All you got to do is look at them. Mayor Bloomberg in New York to see that, who backs the Ground Zero Mosque. You know, just because people make a lot of money doesn't mean that they know an awful lot about a lot of things. They often have tunnel vision and or they're very lucky. It doesn't mean they know everything about everything. You get that or not? All right. 1-800-449-8255. There's a lot of news out there, truthfully. State Department spokesman Mark Toner says Secretary Hillary Clinton recommended Obama authorize $25 million of your money to aid the Libyan terrorists. I mean rebels. I mean opposition. I mean, well, whatever they are. We don't know what they are. Listen to clip 15.
Secretary Clinton, in consultations with her interagency counterparts, has recommended the president authorize up to $25 million in non-lethal commodities and services, and that would go to support the TNC, the Transitional National Council, in their efforts to protect civilians.
Good. Yeah, give al-Qaeda some money so they could buy weapons in Romania. It's astounding to me what's going on in this country. The lawlessness of the Democrats is frightening to behold, truthfully. Yes, I'm an independent conservative, if you want to define me as that. I'm probably more an individualist than a conservative, in the sense that a conservative is a doctrinaire individual who's rigidly bound to certain tenets. I am not. That's the absolute truth, and it's the absolute appeal of Michael Savage. A person who says he's a conservative is rigidly attached to a certain set of beliefs. I am not rigidly attached to any set of beliefs. I believe any issue needs to be looked at analytically and then seen in context of the times in which we are living, and then a decision can be made about it. I don't have a fixed idea about anything, to be honest with you, other than certain principles are, let's say, immutable. But we don't have to state them right now, okay? If you got any questions, I'll answer them. I think I'd rather just do a question and answer. I'm not Obama. I don't have anything set up for you to ask me. Let's just take your calls. Indiana, Lilia, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, yeah, this immigration thing, that makes me absolutely sick to think that Obama would have the nerve to say that the people that cross the border illegally are just the same as the people that wait in line. My father came from India, and he followed every single rule. He did everything that the law required of him and took years to get his green card and then become a citizen.
Well, to Obama, your father's the same as someone sneaking in from Mexico. Same thing to anyone who comes in on a cargo container and becomes an instant citizen with all the benefits thereof and contributes nothing is the same as your father and my father, who was also an immigrant. The man is a lawbreaker. Obama should be impeached for what he just said or forced to retract it. He is the highest officer of the land. He is supposed to uphold the law. He just said he's in favor of breaking the law. Okay? That's an impeachable offense. Crimes and misdemeanors, boys and girls.
Savage.
Pleased to meet you. Hope you get my name. Oh, yeah. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my name.
We are both a nation of immigrants and a nation of laws. Sometimes the laws haven't been fair. Sometimes the laws have been restrictive to certain ethnic groups. There have been quotas.
The anti-president, the anti-American president, the top lawmaker in the land is talking about breaking the law. It's unbelievable to me how he gets away with it, but then, government media complex. I happen to love the city I'm in, and I ignore the politics of San Francisco by and large. I don't read the local paper. I don't read the local website. Frankly, I ignore them completely, and I'll take liberal madness over humidity any day. Today, on the way to the radio station, I stopped and had lunch in one of my favorite places. I haven't been there for months. I was craving a high cholesterol lunch. I am so sick and tired of watching my diets. I ducked into a German bar I know, and I ate, I don't know, I ate pounds of meat. I was craving meat. Secondly, there's a lot of conflicting evidence on the cholesterol issue. It's one of the most important topics that I never talk about. I'll do it another time. It's not well understood, but it's really not the amount of cholesterol you consume. Cholesterol is very beneficial, incidentally. This is one of the greatest shams in the history of medicine, this low cholesterol and this use of Lipitor. It's crazy, the whole thing. And I know what I'm speaking of because I've studied it for 40 years. And the evidence does not support lowering your cholesterol to reduce your risk of heart attack, incidentally. However, I wanted a high meat diet, so I had this huge meat diet. And I'm coming out of the restaurant, literally feeling much better. All of my anxiety was gone. I mean, food can be a phenomenal sedative, incidentally. Lean diets produce people who are, skittish liberals, people who eat, vegan, vegetarian. They think they're healthy. Half of them are crazy half of the time. They're deficient in nutrients. They're deficient in iron. They're deficient in carnitine. They're deficient in many nutrients, and they don't understand why their perceptions are the way they are. Nevertheless, I go through the Embarcadero Center, which is an upscale, office set of office towers, And there's some, you know, men's stores in there that I don't see many people shopping in. And they're having a crazy sidewalk sale. Like high-end goods, like, are in carts. And it says, no reasonable offer refused. And it will take any price, best price. So this is, like, right up my alley because I grew up, you know, as I said, poor, where you bargain for things. I felt like I was in a souk in the Middle East or back on Ludlow Street in New York back when I was a kid. Well, you know, it was astonishing. So I start rifling through the shirts and the belts. I don't know what I was doing, but I got caught up in the frenzy of it. And I saw a pair of gorgeous gloves. So the guy says to me, they're deerskin gloves. I said, how much do you want? He said, they're $85. I said, I'll give you 10. He says, 20. I said, 10. He said, I'll take it. So I have these deerskin gloves that are too big for me, but they're beautiful. Maybe I'll give them to someone who I know with big hands. Then I happen to need a new briefcase. I have one old briefcase that's 20 years old. I tend to buy nothing new. One is leather and one is incredible high-end nylon. He says, okay, originally $395 each. I'll give you blah, 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 one, two and a quarter for one. I said, how about $200 for both? He said, no, that's too low. I said, $200 for both, or I'm walking, and I pull out the cash. All right, I'll take it. Now, I don't know that I necessarily need these. I have an old briefcase that I got from a radio station I used to work at 15 years ago that refuses to break. It's made of some junky synthetic fiber. I throw it. I drop it. I fling it. I use it. I sit on it. I sleep on it. But I'm tired of it. So now I have two brand new briefcases. So as I'm leaving, I say to the guy, I said, hey, look, there's no sales receipt. I said, it looks like I just shoplifted these things. He said, it sure does. It sure does. He said, I won't tell a cop that you stole it. I said, I didn't steal it. I said, does everyone agree here that I paid for these? Did everyone see me give them the money? So what I'm telling, I had a good time, in other words. I ate a meal that violated my normal diet. I bargained for briefcases. What could be better? The air is so beautiful here in San Francisco. I mean, you could see why real estate is so high in the Bay Area. It's probably the best climate in the whole world. And so, as I say, I mean, I love the city, and I just ignore the politics. There's a certain area of the city I like better than any other, which is the old red brick buildings around, you know, for 1850, 60, 70 era, the old time of the post-Civil War period. Amazing, amazing area of the city that I love. So here I am. So as I say, there's a lot to be seen if you open your eyes, and you can ignore the politics of the city. You think I listen to what half of these gas bags say? Never. And Nancy Pelosi is a product of this lunacy. Here we are. Here we are. And it's a city like any others. It's a mixed bag, you know, the good, the bad, and the indifferent. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation today? Any topic is fair game. I don't know that I just want to talk about, you know, Obama and what an anti-American he really is. You know, an article came out about what he wanted to be as a little boy. He wanted to be the president or the prime minister of Indonesia. And I said, God, but for the grace of God, had we only, you know what I mean? Had he only stayed in Indonesia, we would have been spared this nightmare. But lo and behold, he was brought back to Hawaii, and the rest is history, as they say. The man never had a real love for America. He's always been a transnational internationalist, never saw America as an individualistic great country. 9-year-old Obama wanted to be Prime Minister of Indonesia, London Daily Mail. The episode from a new biography of the president's mother reveals the roots of a hunger for power, which has driven Mr. Obama's heady rise from an eccentric upbringing. Because it was him, they call it eccentric. If it was your upbringing, they'd have another name for his mother. But okay. Government cash handouts now top tax revenues. U.S. households are now getting more in cash handouts from the government than they are paying in taxes for the first time since the Great Depression. Can you believe this? In other words, they're buying off the electorate. Don't you understand this is like Chavez's Venezuela? They're buying votes. U.S. households are now getting more in cash handouts from the government than they're paying in taxes for the first time since the Great Depression. So what's the subtext of the article? Households received $2.3 trillion in some kind of government support in 2010. That includes expanded unemployment benefits, payments for Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and stimulus spending, among other things. But that's more than the $2.2 trillion that households paid in taxes, okay? Where is this going to end? Well, the handouts from the government are growing. Government cash handouts account for 79% of household growth since 2007. So where is it coming from? Taxpayers. So why has the world been turned upside down under Obama? I have tried to tell you he's a Marxist, a naked Marxist. He's attacked the middle class from the day he's entered office. Him and his cronies are classic Marxists. Everything they do is Marxism by definition. So you say, wait, Michael, I don't really understand this. I thought Marxists or communists were for the poor and that they attacked the rich. But what you don't understand is many of the most powerful people on earth are stone-hearted Marxists or Leninists. You have to understand how this works. I laboriously studied this my whole life, and I laboriously presented it to you in Trickle Up Poverty. I'm not here to sell you a book, but I'm trying to educate you to the fact that Obama is doing the exact opposite of what he said he's doing. The poor are suffering, the middle class has been hit the hardest, and the only class that has benefited the most are his mega multinational corporate buddies who put him in office. Do you understand this or not? So you say, wait a minute, how does that jive with him talking about granting citizenship to illegal aliens? Aren't they poor? Who is it who wants the illegal aliens legalized most? The transnationals, the hotel chains, the agribusiness corporations, and the others who use this illegal alien labor would like nothing better than to legalize the illegals so that they can avoid paying them many of the benefits that they currently pay them, that the government will pick up the tab even more. Don't you understand how this works? That they're not doing it because they believe in the Emma Goldman, give me your tired and your poor. They don't want to give the tired and the poor anything at all. They want to make sure that General Electric continues to make billions of dollars and pays no taxes. Or that the Hilton Hotel Corporation or any of the other corporations who use illegal labor, if they do. And I can't confirm or deny that they in particular do or do not. But I would assume that most of the hotel labor that the SEIU represents is illegal labor. Okay? 1-800-449-8255. See, now I'm getting nutrition questions. No one wants to ask me about my beautiful beige deer skin gloves. My hands don't quite fit in them, but I'm thinking of applying a salve made of Viagra, and then perhaps the gloves will be perfect. Sharon in Wisconsin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
My husband has big, big hands. If they're too big for you, I'll buy them.
You want to buy them, but I paid $10. How much are they worth to you?
$15.
No. You know, the one thing I'm liable to sell on this show, one thing only, I'm going to probably sell my 65 Caddy convertible. I'm going to auction it on my website this year. I don't have room for it in my garage. It's a famous car. It's got 55,000 miles on it. I've used it in in certain events. It's been on stage. It's got a proven incident history. It's a wonderful car. I never drive it. It's sitting in a garage. I got to clear it out. You know, I would put the money into the Savage Legal Fund and move it on, and that's the end of it. Anyone want it? You want to buy my car? No, please don't call. I'll go send it, give it to the Mecum Auction people. Let's take the calls. Portland, Oregon, Ann, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I would like some more information on carnitine. I had not heard of it until you mentioned it long ago, and I heard you mention it today.
Carnitine is found only in meat, and that's the problem. People don't understand that we are animals with, just look at our dentures. We have canine teeth. We have teeth that are made for grinding, and we have teeth that are made for cutting and ripping. We are perfect omnivores. It doesn't mean we cannot live on a well-balanced vegetarian diet. We certainly can, but we're not particularly adapted for it. I can show you one ancient ethnic group after another and one modern ethnic group after another that lives almost purely on blubber. Look at the Icelandic Eskimos. The Greenland Eskimos eat the highest fat diet in the world, and they have the lowest rate of coronary heart disease. Are you aware of that?
I think you've mentioned that before.
Yeah, they eat whale meat, they eat seal blubber, and they have virtually no occlusion of the arteries. And that is because the whale and the seals from those seas ingest foods. The whale ingests plankton, the seals ingest fish that are rich in omega-3 fatty acids. So the meat in the blubber contains highly beneficial fats rather than fat per se. So we are a fatophobic nation that's obsessed with being skinny, number one, and eliminating fat from our diet, number two. And look at the children. They wind up psychotic on medication because they're on too thin a diet, like their mothers. They may look good, but they're ditzy inside, you understand? But carnitine, to get back to my primary point, carnitine is found only in carne, only in meat. It is an energized, it's a source of energy for human beings, let's put it to you that way. Although carnitine is an enzyme, it's an essential enzyme that can be not found anywhere else but in meat. And that is why many vegetarians who are, let us say, highly strung, very nervous, very spacey, they feel out of touch. You give them a good piece of meat, and they always say they feel better. Always. It happens every time. I suggest you go out and have yourself a hamburger tonight, even a McDonald's burger. That's all. See how you feel tomorrow. Get back to me. So what would you like to talk? Please don't ask the I knew this would happen, the nutrition questions. I didn't want to do that. Let's see. What else do you want to ask? I have, you know, opinions that are based on facts rather than made up out of the thin air. So you say, oh, hogwash, what do you know about nutrition? I know more about it than you do because I eat yogurt. And if I eat yogurt and I eat tofu, I'm going to be healthier than you. All right, good luck to you. I hope you live to the age of Moses. You know what I mean? But I doubt it. The human being is not made for tofu and yogurt. That's all I can tell you. And particularly polyunsaturated fats are very, very deadly for you, incidentally. By the way, very deadly for you. So there's much more to this picture than taking Lipitor and eating low-fat diets, okay? The fact of the matter is carnitine, in this case, is something you should know about. It's a naturally occurring amino acid derivative. It's produced by the body in the kidneys and the liver, and it's, you know, it's derived from meat. And carnitine deficiency is a situation that will prevent the body from using certain fats for energy, and you wind up feeling completely out of energy, completely blah. And I'm not going to say you're going to have what's known in the medical world as primary carnitine deficiency, but you need it. That's all. You need carnitine to process fats and produce energy. And signs and symptoms of primary carnitine deficiency can appear during infancy or early childhood. And very often, this is a very serious condition. It's very uncommon, by the way. The incidence of primary carnitine deficiency is 1 in 100,000 newborns. In Japan, this disorder is only 1 in every 40,000 newborns. So I don't want to get into the medicine and the genetics of it. You can inherit this. But on the other hand, you could simply eat some meat every once in a while and make sure that you have the carnitine that you need. You know, Montana, Sean, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. Lewis and Clark, when they came from 2,000 miles from St. Louis all the way to Oregon, the average man ate 8.5 pounds of red meat a day, and the only person that died was Corporal Pyle, and he died 23 miles outside of St. Louis because of appendicitis, and those men were gone for 3 years, and they were fine and healthy when they got back. They drug their Piorgs, which the weight was about 2,500 pounds apiece. They drug them all the way up in
Right, they were very strong men, and they generally lived longer than people live today. They were very hardy people. I'm definitely, this whole idea of low fat, low cholesterol, take Lipitor is such rubbish, it's beyond belief. It's incomprehensibly backwards. It's one of the greatest medical scandals in history. It's like the colostomy bag. I don't know if people don't know this, but around the, I think it was in the period of about 1890 in the upper classes of England, if there is such a thing. I doubt very much that there ever was a thing called upper classes in England, but there was a group of people who considered themselves members of the upper class. Generally, they were people who inherited money that was stolen from the colonies. Anyway, these people, who have caused so much havoc around the earth, had nothing to do with themselves except get drunk and eat daintily. And then they had this idea that the fecal matter that every human being produces was somehow low class and disgusting. And they just could not live with the idea that they had to sit down and go to the toilet. So they came up with a novel idea. They put colostomy bags on their bodies so they would never have to again sit in what is affectionately known as the crapper. I'll be right back.
Savage.
As I say, I'll take the zaniness of the politics of San Francisco over humidity any day. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I mean, I love this city. I just ignore the politics. I love the architecture of the city, the old. I like the new. Most importantly, I love the climate. It's astounding. I mean, I'm walking around in 49, 50 degrees weather at night, 50 degree weather at night. I like wearing a pea coat, you know, and a sweatshirt. I like the coolness on my face. The air is so beautiful coming off the bay. So anyway, I was thinking of Soros on the way to lunch, so I ate goulash. Then I was thinking of Obama and what he's doing to the country, so then I had a side order of meatloaf. And then I was thinking of Michelle Obama, so I had him put carrots on the plate. I mean, this is how I eat. You know what I'm saying? It's all political to me. Sacramento Anna, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, I like to eat meat sometimes, but I do feel conflicted because I love my pets. You know, I've got a great dog. I've had hamsters.
I know. It's like I look at Teddy's leg, and he's only an 11-pound dog, and sometimes I grasp his entire thigh, and it's really the size of a kind of large chicken. And I joke with him, and I say, Teddy, if you're bad, I'm going to cook your leg. And I realize, God, I really don't want to kill this guy to eat him. But, I mean, no, it's hard. Like, how do you decide? I mean, which animal to eat, right?
That's right. And then if you go to, like, visit pigs or something, then they're all smart, and that makes it easier.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, look, you can easily become a vegetarian for ethical reasons, but you have to understand that being a vegetarian is very complex. And many of the young ladies do it for the right reasons because they love animals, but they're deficient in B12, B6, and iron, and they're walking around half crazy from dietary deficiencies. That's my whole point. They're not balancing out their diet. They think if they just eat tofu, okay, and then at night they go out and slam a needle in their arm or take ecstasy, they're going to be fine. And they're all screwed up from it. They have to balance the vegetarian diet. You can't slam a spike in your arm at night and balance it out. You know what I mean? H is not a vitamin.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Cesar Fernandez and Elisa Rectanas are participating in one of those roundtables, and they want to ask you this. Mr. President, in your deficit reduction speech last week, you spoke of the need to not only reduce government spending, but to also increase federal revenue. In light of our nation's budget challenges, will your administration consider revisiting policies such as the DREAM Act, which the Congressional Budget Office estimates will reduce the deficit by $1.4 billion and increase the government revenue by $2.3 billion over the next 10 years?
You know, if they are of good character and going to school or joining our military...
Let's stop right there. How could a criminal be of good character, Mr. Obama? You see, you gave yourself away. They're here illegally. They're not of good character. End of story. Now, Zuckerberg turns my stomach. Let me start with that. I don't care if he's worth $500 billion. He's a putz. I don't care if he went to Harvard. He's a schmuck. Okay? Here is a man acting like a stooge for the illegal alien mafia. Here he is acting as a stooge for the Democrat criminal lobby. I can't believe what I'm listening to. How could you be of good character and be an illegal alien? Okay. Go explain that to a schmuck who got lucky. That's all. End of story. You know... Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And moderation in the defense of you-know-what is no virtue. That's Barry Goldwater. Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And moderation in the defense of blank is no virtue. We need extremism to save us from this communist. He is an extremist of the highest order. What, because they're not using firing squads like in Syria? He's a nice guy. Obama is an extremist narcissist. He will do anything necessary. He's changing the laws as we speak, going around the laws as we speak, denying Congress their power as we speak. As wimpish as Congress is, it's all we've got. And they're going around the Congress as often as they can. He has people behind him like this evil man, John Podesta. And I call him evil because he was a stooge of George Soros and Hillary Clinton in many attack groups. They went after me. I believe they're the ones responsible for my being smeared and banned in England. These are evil men. These are men who would have been very happy working for some very evil empires. And so don't tell me that he's just a different kind of guy or that's because he's black. That's a rubbish. I can name a black man I would take as president. Congressman Allen West. Okay, there. Does that solve your problem? Make Congressman Allen West president. You won't hear one gripe out of me. Okay? So, I mean, we could talk about it. Obama hails those who came across the Rio Grande and says they're just the same as those who came here legally. It's frightening to me how he gets away with this. Can you think of what would happen if George Bush, prior to the reelection, had gone and visited David Duke the way Obama went to visit that gutter rat, Al Sharpton? The president of the United States goes to the gutter rat, Al Sharpton, and the media looks the other way? The president of the United States gives a speech yesterday in San Francisco where he says, it doesn't matter if you came here through Ellis Island or you came here through the Rio Grande, you're all the same to me. Well, he's the highest officer of the land. He is now supporting the breaking of law. I don't understand how you don't see who this man is. It's unbelievable to me. All the same to you. Sneak in, wait online, all the same to this man who's a transnationalist, a transnational front man for some very, very, very dangerous transnational corporations. The nation's in a very bad state right now. Gold is rallying. The dollar is dropping because there are people who want to destroy the dollar. If it was up to me, anyone who's betting against the dollar, I would arrest them. How do you like that? Don't tell me about currency or speculation that it's legal. Don't tell it to me. Don't get me started. If it was up to me, currency speculators would be jailed and their profits seized unto the third generation. They broke the Bank of England, or almost did so. The same man almost broke the Bank of Malaysia. And that man, as sure as I'm standing here, put Obama in power, and he's out to destroy the dollar, where you'll be wind up with a wheelbarrow, and your dollars that you put in the bank will wind up being worthless. Is that what you want? Is that what you want to happen? Because I see it coming. It's just beyond comprehension. It's happening right in front of your eyes like in slow motion. Nation's mood lowest in 2 years, says the New York Times. Nation's mood lowest in 2 years. I wonder why it's low. GE profits jump 77%. No taxes paid in the United States of America. Here's some breaking news. Nevada, Senator John Ensign is going to resign because of a scandal. There goes another rubber tree plant. There goes another rubber tree plant. Now, I say rubber tree plant. He's a Republican, but they may as well be rubber tree plants as far as I'm concerned, in the sense that they're about as reliable as a rubber tree. Nevada Senator John Ensign to resign. Announced last night, that he'll resign from office in early May, a move that comes amid an ongoing ethics investigation into his conduct. What is it that he did? What's the ethics investigation? Let's see what he did. Ongoing in his handling of an affair with a former aide. You hear this? That's the big deal, that he slept with someone? Bill Clinton did it, no one impeached him. His departure comes as the Senate Ethics Committee is conducting an ongoing investigation in what? Into his handling of an affair with a former political aide whose husband was also a top legislative aide to the senator. All right, so it's not kosher. Clinton did it and they looked the other way. The vermin in the media, the fake feminists said it's shenanigans. Remember those days? All the leftist women, it was shenanigans when Clinton did it. But Ensign did it. He had an affair with Cynthia Hampton. All right, it's his business. He didn't rape her, did he? Did he rape her? Did he rape her? He didn't rape her. The woman did it knowingly. The woman did it knowingly. You may not like it morally, but they did it. Is that a reason for you to now suddenly get on your high horse? It's unbelievable to me. You know, two legs good, four legs bad. So there's another shot now for a degenerate Democrat to become a senator in Harry Reid's backyard. Harry Reid, by the way, is in China right now on a secret mission. They won't disclose what they're doing there. And, of course, the war goes on in Libya, and Obama now, the man of peace, is sending drones into Libya to kill people. And soon it'll be boots on the ground, soon there'll be a Vietnam, and soon you'll have chanting, hey, hey, ho, ho, how many Libyans did you kill today? Hey, hey, ho, ho, hey, hey, ho, ho, LBJ, you gotta go. I doubt it. Now, how much are illegal aliens costing us? Fortune, I don't even want to look at it. I'd rather talk about the two briefcases I bought today. Because at the end of the day, I mean, all that matters is I had, as I said to you, I thought of Soros. I got so agitated I had to eat goulash. And then I was thinking of what Obama did to the country so far, and I had to get some meatloaf. In order to balance it out, I thought of Michelle Obama, so I had carrots and potatoes. So I had a balanced lunch. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want to talk about? Please, no nutrition questions. How about President Trump? That's going nowhere. How'd that work out? Oh, they're ripping him apart. My God. He's really getting to them with the Bertha thing. No, oh, I said the wrong words. I said fin or wing. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have done it. I said fin or wing for that guy who used to be in radio. All right, I didn't say anything about burr. I didn't say the word burr. I didn't use the word burr or burr. I can't even say anymore for fear that they'll start calling me about the birth. I said it again. If I say child burr, I can't even say the last word of child burr. I have to come up with a new word. Let's see. You can't say certain words because it's like a flashing a card, the Queen of Diamonds, to half of America today. So let's see. I have to come up with a new word for child burr. Let's see. Beowulf, what's another word for child burr? Without saying the word buh, so the people don't get triggered into some madness. Delivery. Then you'll think of deliverance and people without teeth raping men in the woods of Arkansas. We don't want to think about delivery because then they'll think of deliverance. How about livery? Livery, that'll be a code word. That'll be a secondary code word for buh, for giving buh. So how's the livery coming? That won't trigger the callers, the birth of callers. I can't even say if I'm thinking. See, there's a lot of talk show hosts who hem and haw, they go, and that's the end of it, the birth is cool. All I got to do is say, and that's the end of that. Oh, boy. Remember what I said, if the rest, what else is in the news? Obama wanted to be prime minister of Indonesia. I had Indonesian food once. I didn't like the rice table food. I don't even like rice anymore. I can't eat it. After the Fukushima thing, I'm avoiding rice now. It's all psychological. I mean, my rice is grown in Northern California. It's organic rice. By the way, I only eat rice at home that's grown in Northern California, the best rice on earth. Indian farmers, primarily Sikhs. Now, there's an example of immigrants who came here and did something for the country. They brought a skill from their homeland, and they raised rice. That's good, right? They had the greatest thing. They brought something here. They didn't sponge off the country. Many immigrant groups brought things to the country. We don't need people who come here and take and don't give. Don't you understand that it's not about immigration? It's about what they're giving to the country or what they're taking. What's that he doesn't get, this guy, in the White House? Brr. 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 I can't say the word brr. It got so bad, my craving for meat today, I almost went into McDonald's, but the line was too long. I was going to get a hamburger, but no cheese on it. I'm on a dairy-free diet. No, the German place was great. Oh, I had a goulash. And I said, Stefan, I can't decide between the goulash or the meatloaf. He said, I'll give you both. Within 30 seconds, I had a plate of food stacked up to my chin. I ate like one of the guys in the dioramas on the back wall have been there since the 20s. They're all dead, of course, but so is everyone else, even the vegetarians. So what does that say about anything? Cymbal shot. I mean, all the guys who were eating in the 1920s, they're by and large gone. So I'm going to sit here and struggle now with a low-fat diet till I'm dead. Woman claims hospital let another woman breastfeed her baby. God, Matt, come on, do better than that. Look what they're doing in Egypt. They're rioting because a Christian won an election. Can you believe this? Thank you, Anderson Cooper, you war criminal, you. They should take Anderson Cooper and send him back to Egypt to be tried for what he did to them. For what he did to them, Anderson Cooper, the golden boy. Let's see what's on my website. I have jet lag, I have to admit it. It takes weeks for me to get over a trip to the east and 2 weeks later to the west. My head's spinning. Coming in September, Savage's first thriller. You're not interested. I just tested the waters. It went from number 49,000 to number 1,700 after I mentioned it on the Savage Nation of Use of Power. I'm not going to mention it much again till a publication. You know what I'm saying? But here's a good article for you to print up for your children. How GE, Google, and other megacorps pay no income tax by Kathleen Pender. It's a great article. You'll see how GE, Cisco, and others pay no or very low taxes. Okay? It's a very good article. Jeffrey Immelt, terrific American. Good man. You'll never see me buying a GE light bulb again. Box office power of Rand's Atlas Shrugged baffles insiders. Ooh! How come those individualists are going to see Atlas Shrugged? As the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks approaches, the UN is no closer to defining terrorism than it was in 2001. No kidding. Useless. What else do we have on my website that's of any use to you and better than the Drudge Report? Man arrested at least 120 times now faces sexual assault charge. A judge's effort to stop a 67-year-old bum and who was arrested all these times came to a halt when he assaulted someone. Most homeless people are criminals, by the way. Underneath the begging thing, either they're violent. You know, don't give me that nonsense. They should all be in a home. What's with the streets? How did you come to accept that through 20 years? Suspect in double fatal stabbing left vodka bottles before fleeing is a horrible story. Ex-Russian special ops soldier who specialized in killing people and disappearing comes to America. He's a day laborer and a drunk, and he kills his girlfriend and her daughter and leaves them butchered in the house and goes home to Moscow, and he can't be extradited. Obama's secret college years revealed, Chapter 2 of Trickle-Up Poverty. That's all. What else do you want to hear about? You know how many people I run into in San Francisco and say, I don't hear you on the air anymore? I say, listen to me. I'm on 650 on the dial coming out of Sacramento, and I'm on 310 other stations. Just because Nancy Pelosi put the kibosh on my show in San Francisco does not mean I'm not a major national host. I'm the third largest talk show in America, okay? I beat Glenn Beck. What more do you need to know? I'll be back.
Savage.
Billionaires and millionaires, but they're paying individual taxes. And if you want to lie, if you want to misrepresent, you'll call them millionaires and billionaires. But it's the job engine of America. Those are our customers because they work hard and they come and they have disposable income. And they're the people that are creating all the jobs in America.
That's Steve Wynn from Las Vegas attacking the president, calling him a liar. Because he knows that Obama's trying to rip apart the middle class. That's all. There's nothing new about that. Not that exciting. Tim in Sacramento, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, it's an honor.
Thank you.
I would like to make a comment about San Francisco being the greatest city to live in. You actually influenced me on where I live now. Long-time listener, better part of 15 years, approximately 13 years ago. You had passed through Central Coast, and at that time I was looking into relocating out of the hustle and bustle.
So what's the bottom line? I'm not catching this, Tim. What's the bottom line?
I just want to comment that San Luis Obispo, I believe, is the greatest city in all of America.
Well, it's not a city. San Luis Obispo is a beautiful town. It's not a city. San Francisco is not really a city. It's a small town that got big. It has all of the attributes of a city, but anyone who really knows what a city is may be fond of San Francisco, but it's not really a city. It's not a world-class city. It is a large town. It's very clannish. It's very limited. It's very provincial. And it's very charming, but it's sort of the butt of many jokes for very good reason. And that doesn't mean I don't love living here. Just as Voltaire loved Paris, it enabled him to comment on the foibles of the Parisians. So I, too, love Nancy Pelosi's backyard because she's not the only one who lives here. You know, there are those who built the city rather than destroyed it.
Savage.
It is 34 minutes after this hour already. Let's go to the call. Sacramento, Ed, welcome to the program. What's up?
Dr. Savage, I would like to thank you very much for the positive comments that you just made about the Sikh community here that we have.
Well, it's true. I mean, why not say what's true? The Sikhs came to America. They contributed from the day they got here. They're the rice growers in Northern California. They provide a staple of the food supply. That's what you call an immigrant group that we need, rather than sponges and leeches and criminals and drug dealers.
Absolutely, sir. I just married a Sikh woman within the last 3 months, and I am so impressed with her people. I'm new at learning about their culture and their history and how impressive they are, and I've been telling
them. Oh, they're a real stand-up culture, let's put it to you that way, in the sense that they're part of the Indian culture, but unique and different thereof.
Are kind of known as a warrior class.
Right. They carry those little knives. That's an interesting concept. I guess that's their equivalent to the Second Amendment, huh?
Yes, sir. And I've just been telling everybody these are the exact type of people that we need coming here.
That's exactly right. But I can guarantee you Obama wants them to cross the Rio Grande. Okay? Because those who come from across the Rio Grande are generally illiterate in their own language. Do you know that? The people, they may be fine people, some of them. You know, it's a mixture like everyone else. But the people sneaking into America are basically illiterate in Spanish. Now, how are we going to absorb these 30 million illegal aliens when they're illiterate in their own language?
Well,
thanks. You got Indians coming over here. Within 3 months, the children are winning spelling bees. Go explain that to anybody. The Indian people here, 3 months later, the kids are winning spelling bees. They don't go crying that the government didn't give them something. Now, explain that to me. Don't tell me they're all the same. I'm sick of this rubbish. Next call, Albany, New York. Mike, go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I just want to say that you really gave me a laugh when you went off from the birthers and you pulled it through to deliverance. I'm driving down the road and I'm laughing my head off. Thanks a lot. You gave me a good laugh. Today.
Well, sure. No, that was funny when I went into the delivery and deliverance. Thanks. You need a good laugh. Everyone needs it. With Obama in the White House, it's like Dracula. It's like Dracula in the White House. Every time he opens his mouth, you know, more blood seeps from the body politic. The guy cannot get enough blood from the American middle class. Every day he opens his mouth. Now he wants illegal aliens to be turned into citizens. Who's going to pay for that, Mr. Vampire? I want you to think about this. This is the part that gets to me. You say, okay, I've heard Obama's no good already. Move on. I'd rather hear about your goulash than about Obama. I get it. I know how this works. You know, I slog through the quicksand of radio every day, so I understand what you're thinking. But the fact of the matter is, this man cannot make a statement that is not vampire-like. Virtually everything the man calls for adds up to the blood of the middle class. Write that one down. Okay? So, you want to talk about goulash or the goulash he's making of America? Come on, let's move it on here. Something new. I don't want to talk about illegal aliens. There's nothing in the news, really. Ensign resigning, big deal. Who cares? So there'll be another stooge put in who'll do nothing for the people. Just along the lines of, we forgot his name already. Remember when Ted Kennedy died and went to you know where? And then a Republican won and people, one is going to save the world, be president. They stabbed you in the back anyway. The pickup truck was given back to Central Casting that gave it to him. Pickup truck. Boy, did you buy that one in Massachusetts. But then again, all right, I lived in Boston once. They're just like San Francisco. Naive, nice people don't know what's going on around them by and large. Doesn't mean they're not competent in their own way, in their fields. They're very competent. Rocker's daughter, Theodora Richards, gets no jail deal in Soho Convent graffiti case. The scrawling stoner has gathered herself a no-jail deal, but she may have to pick up trash at a local park. Rock legend Keith Richards' model daughter. Let's let that go, model daughter. She's not a model daughter. She's a daughter who modeled occasionally, okay, model daughter. A model daughter is a Girl Scout, not a daughter who was a model. Remember she was arrested for graffiti writing? Big deal, who cares? Robber holds gun to 8-year-old's head during New York jewelry store raid. Not interested. Woman's leg crushed after falling between platform and train at Grant. I don't go in the subway. A, I don't live in New York, so what's the point? But even the years I lived there and I was a strap hanger, I always had a little paranoia, but when the train came in, the whooshing, and I always stayed away. I'm talking many decades ago, I stepped back from the train. You always knew there could be a nut who could shove you, right? I mean, look, if you're a rational person and you're standing in the subway, what are you, an idiot? You're going to stand right near the door? What if a nut comes and gives you a nudge job? Bing, you're gone. So I always stood back, so let the schmuck go on the train ahead of me, I figured. I remember those days of being a strap hanger. Did I hate it? How do you think I wound up on top? It's from hating what I was living through that I pushed. Don't you know how life works? Let's say you get out of college and you have a schmuck job like I did as a social worker. So you start resenting the fact that the welfare recipient is living better than you are. So you say, what the hell am I doing this for? So you go on to something else. And you move up little by little, and then eventually you say, what am I, crazy? What am I being a do-gooder for? They're taking advantage of me. Then eventually you go into something else. But I never really stopped being, in some ways, a social worker. But let's not put a halo. But I'm saying, even the years I was riding the subway, into and out of and back, I remember writing poems, bad poems, the kind of stuff they read today. When I came home at night, and I forget who remembers, it was about a raincoat I bought in Brooks Brothers to look like a regular normal man, if you can believe it. I try to look normal. So I remember buying a raincoat in Brooks Brothers. I'm talking 1965. A strap hanger, you know, with the tuna fish sandwich in the pocket to go to work with. So I couldn't afford even to buy a hero sandwich. And the tuna fish sandwich stained the raincoat like with a day one. It came through the wax paper. But it was horrible. Poor people have to go to work every day and listen to this yuck in the White House telling them that they have to accept 30 million illegal aliens and pay for them. What, does he not understand that even people who are middle class don't want any more of this vampire-like behavior? So anyway, I always avoided the subway near the door, the whoosh. Only out-of-towners find the subway charming. The kids who grew up in like the lily white suburbs, the schmucks, they move to New York, they go to like the Art Institute or the NYU School of Film. They're all going to be Steven Spielberg. A film school, the parents spend $300,000. They can't even make a bar mitzvah movie with an 8mm camera by the time they get out. They have to go to work somewhere in the family business in Duluth in a furniture store. 2 years later, after they go through rehab, they come back from the ecstasy and the other drugs they've been using, whatever they're using today, crystal meth, whatever, who cares? I don't care what you use, you schmuck. Your grandfather didn't need drugs, did he, you idiot, you moron? So they go into the city. They find the subway exhilarating. Oh, I go to Manhattan. I ride the subway. 3 a.m, they're in the meatpacking district, walking around stoned and drunk. Then they go to work in the morning. They can't answer a telephone. They're fit for nothing, the sluts. But they're vegetarian. The important thing is they're vegetarian. They believe in global warming. And they know that racism and homophobia are the two biggest problems on the earth. That's all they know. That's all. Idiots. So what do you think Obama goes to Facebook for? He knows his audience. What do you think they are? You think they're geniuses because they work for that Putzeberg? It's unbelievable. I didn't know he talked like this. I could tell you right now, I had no idea he was such a yuck. Boy, did he get lucky. You know, it's almost like the gardener in that Peter Sellers movie, this guy Zuckerberg. He sounds like a complete moron who became so rich so fast no one could believe this. And of course Obama would go to see him. That's his audience. Here, listen to clip 8 when he acts as a pimp for Obama in clip 8.
Cesar Fernandez and Elisa Rectanas are participating in one of those roundtables.
Really,
and
darling?
They want to ask you this. Mr. President, in your deficit reduction speech last week, you spoke.
I don't want to hear this. To listen to Stephen Zuck, whatever his name is, Mark Zuckerberg, acting as a pimp for the Obama administration makes me sick. It makes me sick to listen to the industrial complex here. Okay, the political-industrial complex. You're telling me that Zuckerberg didn't get a business relationship out of it? Like a GE got nothing for promoting Obama day and night shamelessly on MSNBC? He's getting nothing out of the deal? How come GE pays no taxes? You don't see the connection, all right? Then you're a very, very good fool. New York Auto Show, complete coverage. You still go to auto shows? This day and age, an auto show? Remember, I went with my father when I was a kid. He worked 7 days a week, but I guess he felt bad that he never took me anywhere. He couldn't. He worked. I went to school. So once there was an auto show. It was a big deal. We went to some armory. I don't know where it was. I was so intimidated. All the models looked like they were 10 feet tall, the girls. I never saw women like that in Queens. All the women that I grew up with in Queens, no, God bless them, they were nice women. They looked like Stalin's housekeeper. They wore babushkas. They pushed the cart to Deitch Dairy. They went out in howling winds. They were stocky. They were like from the Eastern European steppes. And my father took me to an auto show. And it was like these women. They looked 9'11", blonde, blue-eyed. They scared me. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know they existed. Where'd they come from in those days? Most of them were alcoholics and nymphomaniacs and a little bisexual. But all right, they sat on the fender of the car. I guess it helped sell a Buick in those days. Even the, look, if your wife looked like Stalin's housekeeper, you know what I'm saying? You think they were going for the fender? Sacramento, Dave, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you're making me laugh.
Good. That's what we need. When the vampire talks, you cry. When I talk, you laugh.
I was living in Paris a couple of years ago, and I saw models come out of a chute, and they, the same thing, they look like they were like 10 feet tall.
Right. No, don't they look like they're from another planet? What's with the hissing there? Where are you? What's this? You sound like, what is this, a stage act? It's like Charlie Sheen calling me, it sounded like, for a minute. All right, Dave. Did it sound like Charlie Sheen? I swear to God. I swear, if someone said, was that Charlie Sheen, I'd say yes. He's already using me on a stage somewhere. I don't know, that really sounded like him. God, I was flipping around channels last night. I bought a new, you want to hear a new television story? I cannot believe it. So I go to my house in Florida, and we had TVs installed when we bought it 3 years ago, LG television. Is it LG or what? I don't know what it's called. Whatever. The picture is so good. So I said to my assistant, all right, take the old Sony Trinitron TV out, which is like 4 feet deep. I don't throw things out. And replace it with this LG television, whatever it is. So he replaces it. The picture's like 50% dimmer. I don't understand this. So now I said to him, call Comcast. And if they, it can't be the signal because the other old TV got a better picture than the new one. I don't understand. Why would an old Trinitron that weighs 3,000 pounds and is 3 feet deep, you need three men to lift it. Why did it have a better picture with better color, I'm asking myself, than this flat screen? I don't understand this. It can't be the cable because it's the same cable. So now I have to remove it and give it back, and he has to put the old television back in. It's unbelievable to me. So I'm flipping around on the new TV last night trying to enjoy myself, and I see a movie with him in it. What's his name? I just mentioned the guy on stage with the torpedo of truth. Charlie Sheen. About the Mitchell brothers. Remember? Wow, was that a bad movie, you know? Terrible movie, that Mitchell Brothers movie. Glorifying, again, the pornography industry. Car crashes through storefront window in the Bronx, one dead, five injured. Terrible. And what if the dead person had been a vegan and didn't eat animals? Right? And no, think of it. It's all crazy. The whole world is becoming like it has no meaning. A car crashes through a storefront, one dead, five injured. Now, what about if the person he missed was a serial rapist, and the person he hit was a vegan and a nun? How do you explain these things? You can't explain any of this. It's astounding. That's why I like tabloid newspapers like the New York Post. Hundreds attend funeral for Hudson River mom who killed three kids. You hear mom? She's a mom like a fly is a mother. A fly is more of a mother than she is. Why do they call that woman a mom when she killed her own children in a minivan? She drives it into the river. They hold a funeral for her? Okay, I'll stop right there. Mom and daughter killed inside Brooklyn home, laid to rest. A beautiful blonde nurse and her mom were discovered brutally stabbed to death in blood-spattered Brooklyn apartment. Remembered the morning. Okay, now they're already milking it for 3 days. But Russia's not going to deport him. So, I mean, extradite him, rather. They're not extraditing the murderer, the slasher? How did Russia suddenly top us? Vietnam's topping us economically. I mean, we have a bigger economy, but they're doing better than us. The Vietnam baht, whatever they call it, is a stronger currency than the U.S. dollar. Can you believe this? How many men died in Vietnam to stop communism? Communism comes in, a million people are slaughtered by the communists after the U.S. troops are driven out by Walter Cronkite and the vermin in the media. And what do you have? You wake up, 30, 40 years later? It's frightening. It's frightening to believe it was that long ago, right? And that economy is healthier than ours. Again, Uncle Schmuck builds up Vietnam. Uncle Schmuck builds up Russia. Uncle Schmuck builds up China and saves them from the Japanese onslaught in World War II. And now what? With the basket case of the world. And take a look at who's in the White House, the vampire. I'll be back. So today we're feasted upon another vampire-like statement from the president, who says in clip three, listen to clip three again, you got to hear this again.
No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter whether your ancestors landed here on Ellis Island or came here on slave ships or came across the Rio Grande, we are all connected. We will rise and fall together.
Now let's stop right here. Here is a man who could be impeached for that statement alone if we lived in a nation of laws. This is the top lawmaker in America, the president of the United States, who is saying that the millions of lawbreakers known as illegal aliens are all the same as your ancestors who waited online. It's shocking to believe we woke up with a criminal in the White House. He is encouraging criminal behavior. That's the way it is. Alabama Ann. I can't do anything about it, though. All I care about is why my TV doesn't work. Ann, what's the problem, according to you?
Well, if the lights are dim in the room, the TV will automatically dim. If you turn
Wait. If the lights are dim?
Yes. Do you have an LED?
No, it doesn't. This brand doesn't do that.
Well, I have a brand new Samsung LED.
Yeah.
And that's what happens. The first time it happened, I couldn't believe it.
What do you mean? If it's dim in the room, the picture gets dimmer?
Yes. It's an energy saving.
Oh, God. That's what they did to me.
That's right.
They gave me a green television?
Yes.
Oh, so there's going to be a black market for old Sonys now. Okay, I'm going to go back to my meat-eating Sony television, take it out of the closet. That's all the end of it. Okay, I don't want a vegetarian television set that turns off when the lights go dim. Forget about it. I know when someone tested a new Mercedes, they told me the other day, a new model, they couldn't believe it. They made it into like a mini hybrid that turns itself almost off at the light. He said he thought the car stalled. He couldn't believe what he was driving. He has a three-year-old 550. He said he's not going to buy a new car. He stopped at a light. It felt like the car stalled out. They made it so that it reduces I don't know what they're doing. The insanity of all of this. It doesn't really, at the end of the day, save anything. It's all political, you know, gibberish. No, I'm going to, if my assistant's listening, disconnect the LG TV and put the old fat one back in. Put that fire-breathing Sony back into the room already. Okay, what did I have to upgrade for? You see, this is the problem with upgrading. I feel like we're living in Poland before the fall of the wall, where they turn electricity off for a certain number of hours. We have so many power failures in Marin County, California, water failures, power failures. The roads are broken. I come back from Florida. You come into San Francisco. It's like a third world city. The roads are broken. Weeds are growing out of the highways, from the pavement. And where do the billions go? Where do the billions go? You want to make me governor for 30 days? I'll solve 90% of the problems in 30 days. Give me executive power. You want me to straighten the budget out? I'll straighten the budget out. A highway patrolman in every hospital from day one. No ticky, no laundry, no citizenship. You're not getting any medical care. Catastrophic, yes. A car accident, choking on something will treat you. Otherwise, take a walk, go back where you came from. We can't afford it. That saves about $15 to $20 billion a year right off the bat. What is the governor making believe he doesn't know how to tighten the budget? What are they talking about? They're dancing around on eggshells for the illegal alien mafia that has them on a string. They own them all. And the SEIU who employs most of them. Okay, you want to solve the problems? Put a real independent in office, and I'm not running for anything.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. here are some of the topics from the Savage Nation today. Obama, what do you want to be when you grow up? Asked his mother. When he was 9, he told his mother he wanted to be the president of Indonesia. Would Obama have been better as prime minister of Indonesia? Oh, God, how did we miss that? What did you want to be when you were 9 years old? Were you that crazy that you thought you'd be the prime minister of Indonesia? Another big topic, General Electric profits have soared while America's ratings have collapsed. GE's profits soared 77% in the first quarter after paying no income taxes and getting a $3.2 billion tax benefit from Obama. The same week, Standard & Poor's downgraded U.S. debt outlook to negative. Is GE helping the United States go from Standard & Poor's to Standard & Poorer? Should Congress eliminate the CEO of General Electric, Jeff Immelt's, position as economic czar? Oh, are you kidding? You must be joking. You got to listen to this soundbite.
No matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what you look like, no matter whether your ancestors landed here on Ellis Island or came here on slave ships or came across the Rio Grande, we are all connected. We will rise and fall together. That's the vision of America that I've got. That's the idea at the heart of America.
Here is a president.
That's the idea at the heart of our campaign.
Saying that if you're an illegal alien who snuck into America by crossing the Rio Grande, it's the same as if your ancestors came through Ellis Island. The man is a traitor. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not going to get angry. I mean, the man is a traitor. He's violating every law that America stands for. Government cash handouts now top tax revenues. What? What does that mean? U.S. households are now getting more in cash handouts from the government than they're paying in taxes for the first time since the Great Depression. In other words, he's buying his votes like any other tin pot dictator. On MichaelSavage.com, here's a great article, Obama's Likeability Gap, from the Wall Street Journal by Daniel Henninger. If it is true, as Michelle Obama said in February, that her husband isn't smoking anymore, maybe he'd better start mellowing out with the cigs again before it costs him the presidency. Palestinians counting on Obama for a state. When asked if there were any mistakes in his first 2 years, he said, I can't think of any. For those of you who believe that Islam is a religion of peace for all, see the revelations of a failed teenage suicide bomber. 153 killed in Muslim attacks against Christians in Nigeria. Why did they kill them? Because a Christian won the election. Court allows 10-year-old boy to undergo a sex change. I swear to God, I'm not making it up. This is in Australia. The Australian Family Court ordered that Jamie be allowed to start drug therapy to stop male puberty and that the court reconvene when Jamie turns 16 so he could be a girl. Failed comic Jerry Sinfield attacks Trump over Obama's birth. I wouldn't call him funny man Jerry Sinfield. Sinfield hasn't had a hit in 10 years. Suspect in double fatal stabbing left vodka bottles before fleeing. Take a look at these beautiful women killed by this lunatic. All this and other stories of the day are found on MichaelSavage.com. Be sure to see the true story. Well, it's based on Savage's true story. It's called Abuse of Power, coming out in September by Michael Savage, published by St. Martin's. It's a novel. All you leftists, did you know that we right-wingers can write novels? I bet you thought only the left-wingers who hate America could write novels. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's see what else is in the breaking news department. Actually, today it's the news that's breaking us, not that there's breaking news. Remember this, the next time you go flying, Big Sisyphus wants you. Mission creep, Obama sends armed drones into Libya. Really? Democrat is a good war. Gold rallies to new record for fifth straight trading session. California's criminal alien population leaps, costing cash-strapped state nearly $3.5 billion a year. The state spends three times as much as Texas on each illegal alien inmate. Well, you got to make sure that they have ethnic meals and barbells, tattoo artists, right? They have to have tattoo artists. I mean, you look into what they spend. You don't want an illegal alien from Mexico feeling that you're a racist state, right?
Indulge them.
More than one in four of the illegal immigrants imprisoned in California are behind bars for drug offenses. Many are also repeat offenders. Criminal alien inmates have been arrested an average of 7 different times. That's good. That's very good.
We call them repeat visitors.
First of all, you got to provide them with tattoos, ethnic meals, right? A translator.
Right.
California pays $34,000 for each illegal alien prisoner per year when the money could go to educate the children of the state. Of course, you could have the California National Guard fly them to their countries of origin, land on a dirt runway somewhere in Mexico where there are no drug dealers, and let them walk out the back of the airplane with troops to protect them and then take off, right? Anyway, it's totally out of control. I know that there's illegal aliens that have busted the bank, but no one will say it. Maybe now something will happen now that the rubber has met the sandal, now that the old tire has met the foot. Of course, if you go to USA Today, there's no news. 2011 grads finding better job market. See, everything's good. Here's a newspaper losing money. Obama says manipulation of gas prices will end. States moving quickly to switch execution drug. Anyway, you get the picture. You get the picture. Nothing. There's no news. This is why U.S. news is going out of business. Of course, Glenn Beck attacked Mike Huckabee, calling him a progressive. It's one of the most honest things that Glenn Beck has said recently. Good for you. Go, Glenn, go, and take Huckabee with you. All this and more on the Savage Nation. Steve in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage, big fan, love your book. I just want to point out a few things, though. The shareholders of GE, we do pay taxes on the profits.
I understand, but why should the corporation get off scot-free?
It's double taxation. It's already, you know, think of it as a lemonade.
Oh, come on. You're pulling my leg. How could you say taxing a corporation for profits earned in the U.S. and then individuals who make money on stock sale on what are you making it on? You're paying taxes on what part of the GE money?
GE is a lemonade stand, and it sells a lemonade.
Stop it. My dogs are fighting under the desk. They're like two corporate titans. Let me ask you something. Are you suggesting that a corporation should pay no taxes in the United States of America?
To an extent. Hong Kong, certain countries don't have corporate taxations. We already have the highest level of corporate tax anywhere.
So in other words, GE is doing the right thing by paying no taxes.
No, it's not. First of all, GE employees pay payroll tax. GE shareholders...
We're not talking about employees. We're talking about the corporation. I didn't say they should give up all of the $4 billion in profit. But if Obama, a good friend of Jeffrey Immelt, is arguing we should all pay our fair share, how does he not see the disconnect between that statement and GE paying nothing?
GE is not sending their kids to public school. GE is not a physical person. You know, GE...
So you're arguing then that corporations should earn their money and pay no taxes at all?
If it's taxed on a shareholder level, corporations really shouldn't pay taxes.
They shouldn't pay taxes.
Huh?
They shouldn't.
They should not, right.
You really believe that?
There's plenty of small businesses. S-corporations in the U.S. don't pay corporate taxes.
That's not true at all. S-corporations pay almost the same thing as individual income tax. That's nonsense. S corporations are paying almost the same amount as individuals. That's wrong. You're wrong about that.
Not through entity. No, I'm not.
Well, I know an awful lot about that, Steve. S corporations do not evade taxes at all. They're paying full bore taxation.
Taxes. I'm saying on the individuals, members of the S corporation, they pay the taxes otherwise it's double taxation. It's, you know, that $100 that I sell when I sell a car.
But you can't argue that a corporation as large as General Electric, which benefits from all of the protections of the United States government, all of the infrastructure that permits it to do its business in the U.S., should be able to pay no taxes. I don't believe that you really mean that.
No, the shareholder pays the taxes on those profits. Like if GE makes $100 in Japan selling nuclear energy, when that money comes to the shareholder, you know, be it a mutual fund or a pension fund.
Can you name any other country in the world that permits any corporation to pay no income tax? I'm not aware of any.
Hong Kong.
Okay, so you'd like to have the Hong Kong style government here in America?
Well, no, it's even in the U.S., the corporate income tax was always very low, and it's gone up, and higher and higher and higher. But people forget that.
Well, let's talk about Hong Kong for a minute. First of all, Hong Kong is part of China. Is that correct?
I guess, yeah.
Yes. It's now part of it. It was turned over to China quite a while ago. Hong Kong is not besieged by illegal aliens who get free education, free medication, is it?
I don't know.
No. The Chinese know how to deal with illegal immigrants. It's a little different than the progressive view of illegal immigration here in America. So Hong Kong, if you want to use that as an example, which is not a fair example, is certainly not a comparable example. But Hong Kong is not burdened by the same problems that we have here in America, nor are they stressed by the same expenses. But thank you for the call. I don't agree with you at all. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. The heart transplant, where are they getting them from? Poor people in accidents. Remember the movies in the 80s, flying them in with the helicopter, with the ice? There were a lot of novels about that. I'm not putting that in my novel, the flying in the heart, in the ice. That was very exciting, like a Steven Seagal, pre-Steven Seagal movies. Remember those movies in Chicago? Like, oh, they were so good. So unbelievable. I watched them. I could never get away with writing a book like that today. Awful. Where is Steven Seagal? Man, did he pack on weight. Did you see what he looks like? I'm sure he could still whip my behind. I know that. I'm not saying it, but man, the guy went from like Mr. Handsome, long, lanky, big arms, could knock you, right? Threw guys around. But he knew his stuff. He was real, apparently, to guys in the martial arts. But you look at this guy today. How did he get so fat? Like a distortion. Another guy came out. Another one looked like that after a while. Who was the other one who shocked me in the end? Remember Marlon Brando? It was a handsome young guy in the 50s, the Wild Ones. Handsome guy, motorcycle. The next thing you know, he's on Larry King with a toothpick with his shoes off. I'll never forget that as long as I live, with his naked feet up in front of the camera, goofing on Larry King, who has to kiss his behind for the interview. And Marlon Brando was doing everything he wants to insult him in the audience, which I thought was amazing. But did you see how bloated he looked? Jerry Lewis, another one. But Jerry Lewis, you could write it off because of the prednisone from his illness. Okay, that you can't laugh at. But the indulgence for a person to wind up that fat, my God. How does Steven Seagal get that way? Does anyone know what happened to him? How did he get that way? I don't understand it. Another guy who's kind of sad. I don't mean anything derogatory. Again, he could kick me all over the... he was very big in the 80s. And he's like a good conservative right winger. But you know what? Shouldn't you just leave the arena at that point? You want to still be seen? It's like a beautiful movie star, a woman. You know, you look at her in her early movies, like Humphrey Bogart, Laura McCall, remember? Stunningly beautiful woman. Do you want to wind up like Martha Ray selling like teeth in a glass that fizzes? They wind up selling like tooth powder to make ends meet for the little house left in Beverly Hills. That cost them $14,000 when they bought it in 1951. But they still can't make the taxes. So they got to do commercials. They're like the glasses and their teeth in a glass fizzing next to the bed. You don't want to see them at that point. There should be welfare for them. I mean, I'd contribute to a fund not to have to have them come out on the public stage. There should be a special fund for old actresses who are decent people so they don't have to perform like commercials, do commercials, so I don't have to look at them. I don't want to see them like that. The same thing with, like, you know, Class A action stars years later. I don't want to see Steven Seagal looking like that. Like Chuck Norris, certifiably good guy, but Chuck, please. It's enough already. You know, and they do suffer from the years of kicking and hitting and striking. Their joints go from that. You can only do it so long. There is no longevity in that form of activity, incidentally. Now, you compare a guy like me who's ridden the bicycle all of his life, and moderately now. I'm not talking triathlete level. Everyday moderate. Moderate till the body's warm and a little heated up. Slight incline. Almost every day of my life. Never miss it. I miss it. I don't feel good. Like a religion. And push-ups and sit-ups. No sit-ups. I can't stand them. I don't care about the abs. I don't care. I'll do weightlifting a little bit. Little dumbbells. That's all I can take. push-ups and bicycling. What I'm saying is, if you were to compare a guy like me who was not striking bags and kicking for 40 years, I bet you that my joints are in better shape. Which is to say what? They shouldn't have done it? No, they did it. But you got to pay the piper. Whatever you do, you're going to pay the piper. You see, there's no winning. Whoever set this game up, I don't know, there may be a little bit of sadism up there because something's wrong with the whole picture. No matter what you do, you suffer in the end like you can't believe. I don't care how much you run. I don't care how much you look at the watch. I don't care how many vitamins you take. I don't care if you eat vegetarian. I don't care if you do 1,000. I don't care what. In the end, you're not going to. It's not good. It's never good. You think you're going to die at 120 in your bed with your family surrounding you. Let me tell you, Buster, I got news for you. No doubt if you're lucky enough not to die of a stroke or a heart attack suddenly, and you live into your late 70s or 80s, if you will suffer the last 10 years of your life horribly, and then in the end your family will put you into a home somewhere where you will be abused by the immigrant staff, and they will beat you about the head and neck with rubber truncheons while stealing your small change. Before the family comes to visit, you'll be left in front of a curtain, drooling on yourself in a wheelchair. It's horrible. You know what I'm doing for you today? I'm entertaining you. Come on, give me a break. What are you calling some organization already? That I insulted somebody in an old age home? Already some idiot liberal already dialing.
Savage.
One of the best foreign affairs and political writers around is Niall Gardner. You're lucky enough to hear him today on the Savage Nation, to hear him tell us about Obama's collapsing poll numbers and what this might mean for the administration. Niall, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's great to be here.
Obama's seen his poll numbers falling drastically over the last few weeks. Do you think he really cares?
I think these devastatingly bad polling figures for Barack Obama are the result of public disillusionment with Obama's economic policies. And a series of polls have shown that a significant majority of the American public believe that Obama's economic policies are actually making Americans poorer. And so there's a real rejection, I think, of the big government ideology of the Obama administration, the tax and spend approach, which is hugely adding to America's debt burden. And I think this outdated left-wing big government ideology is being hugely rejected now by the American people.
Do you think these polls really mean anything to him?
Well, they should do. And when you have a president who has a 41% approval rating, that's the latest figure from Gallup, you have a White House in very serious trouble. This is an administration that is really hugely out of touch with the American people. And let's face it, I think a great deal of the economic problems being faced by the United States today are being caused by the policies of the most left-wing U.S. administration of the past century.
Isn't the real story from this poll the fact that 57% of people now disapprove of how Obama is doing his job as president? 57%.
Yes, that's correct. Barack Obama has a stunningly high disapproval rating. And there's no doubt about it. I think that we are seeing the American public once again overwhelmingly turning against the Obama administration. We saw that, of course, last year in the lead-up to the midterm elections. Obama had a slight rise in the polls earlier this year. He's gone back to rock bottom now with these latest polls. But undoubtedly, I do think there is a tremendous degree of disillusionment with the whole Obama agenda. This is, without a doubt, one of the most unpopular presidents in U.S. history at this stage of the presidency. And I would say that in contrast, for example, to Bill Clinton, who also had rather low figures at this stage of his presidency, Barack Obama is not a pragmatic politician. He's actually moving further to the left rather than to the center. And that, of course, is alienating, I think, a large number of independent voters.
I personally don't think this will make him listen to the American people. Do you?
I don't think that will necessarily be the case. I mean, for example, after his emphatic defeat in the November midterms, President Obama really was in a state of denial. And I don't think we've seen much evidence that this is a president who's willing to change his views or his policies in line with public opinion. This is a very ideological a president, not a pragmatist. And there's little real sign, I think, that Barack Obama is planning to significantly shift his policies in line with some very sharp condemnation from the American public.
Of course Americans are going to put up with another 2 years of Obama. What can they do about it?
Well, I mean, like it or not, I mean, there, you know, there will be another 18 months or so of the Obama presidency to go. So, you know, the question is there going to be further serious damage, I think, to America's position as a global power, as a great nation, as a country with a strong, traditionally strong economy? And I think that if the Obama administration is going to continue down its very destructive path, I do think you are going to see a significant American decline. There's no doubt about it. Obama's economic policies are causing tremendous damage to the prosperity of the United States and the American people. And unfortunately, there seems to be no likelihood of the president reversing course.
Only 28% of people now say they will definitely vote for Obama in the 2012 election. Well, that's a fairly large number when you consider that they'll have to legalize illegal aliens by then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a stunning figure then, when just over a quarter of Americans say they will definitely vote for the president's re-election in 2012. This compares to a far larger 45% who say they definitely will not vote for Barack Obama. And so there's very little real wiggle room, I think, for the president at the moment in terms of these kinds of polling figures. And I think that not only is the president dealing with almost half of the country who will not vote for his re-election, but also the percentage of the population who call themselves liberal has fallen to just 21%. That compares with 36% of Americans who call themselves conservatives and about 39% who describe themselves as independents. And those are not good omens for the future, it has to be said, for Barack Obama.
The president's speech on the budget last week was a disaster. Do you think that that's one of the major reasons for his falling ratings?
I think his speech last week, which was pretty disastrous, has added to the perception of a president who is in tremendous denial with regard to the huge scale of the budget deficit, the huge level of unsustainable government borrowing. And his speech last week really just confirmed, I think, in the public's mind, this is a president who is not even willing to confront the scale of the economic crisis facing the United States. And the latest poll this week from the Washington Post and ABC News was an emphatic rejection, I think, of Obama's handling of the economy and a clear sign that the American public simply did not buy into the president's message in a speech last week.
Is there anyone emerging as the real contender for the Republican nomination for president? I don't think so.
Well, looking at the latest polling projections, and again, I mean, the Washington Post, ABC News, has some new figures on this. Clearly, I think Mitt Romney is emerging as the front runner at the moment. He's trailed by Huckabee and also by Donald Trump. Sarah Palin appears to be trailing further behind at the moment, but this is still a very wide open field. It's very hard to say who is going to get the nomination. It's not a clear-cut case at all, but it has to be said, I think, that Mitt Romney is starting to build up quite a sustainable lead in a very wide-ranging field of about 15 candidates.
Niall Gardner, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
It's my pleasure, Michael. Thank you very much.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Last-minute action, Texas inmate disputes use of execution drug. This is the latest ploy of the vermin with law degrees. Here's a man convicted of killing a woman he met in a bar 9 years ago, scheduled to be executed. And the vermin call lawyers, want a last-minute reprieve. They challenged one of the drugs that is being used to kill him. Now, you know that this is nonsense. You know that this is a new ploy by the vermin with pockmarked skin and Coca-Cola bottle glasses who went to communist schools in New York City. either Columbia Law, NYU Law, Harvard Law, three of the worst schools in the history of the world, the scourge of the West. They came out hating America, hating mother, hating father, hating the church, hating justice itself. But they claim that they have love for people on death row. They hate the newborn. They're in favor of abortion, but somehow they march to save a murderer such as this. In Texas, this guy was going to be executed. And there's a nationwide shortage of sodium thiopental, one of the three drugs that have typically been used in executions. Now, the reason there's a shortage is because the vermin with law degrees sued the manufacturer. And consequently, this has made it impossible to execute known murderers. As you know, they're using substitutes such as pentobarbital instead of sodium thiopental. Pentobarbital is a sedative that is often used to euthanize animals and to treat seizures in humans. It's a perfectly good sedative. But the vermin with law degrees from NYU, Harvard, and NYU, Harvard, and probably Yale Law School are saying that this is cruel and inhuman punishment. Killing the woman that he killed, a Sudanese immigrant known as Mary, murdered this woman. That was not cruel and inhuman. Instead, the vermin with law degrees, known as this type of lawyer, goes after the Department of Justice and says that it's cruel and inhumane. And Maury Levin, here we go again. Maury Levin, one of Foster's lawyers, said that Texas had failed to adhere to its own administrative rules when it decided to switch to pentobarbital and that it had not properly notified the public of the charge change. Maury Levin, I have one word for you, only I can't give it on the radio. Maury Levin, all I can say is you're a shame to your parents, to your grandparents, and your own people. And Maury Levin, I have a few other things I'd say to you if I could meet you in person, Maury. All I can say is you're a suicidal, psychotic sack of garbage, in my humble opinion. Other lawyers, listen to this, this fat piece of garbage on death row has lawyers. Now, who's paying for the lawyers? You want to know budget cuts? You talk about a country that's bankrupt? Where do you think this guy gets his lawyers from? You pay for it, you schmuck. The state pays for these lawyers like Levin. Where do you think the money comes from? Lawyers also say the state used an invalid federal permit to buy pentobarbital. I can't believe this. Oh, she's Ms. Levin. I'm sorry. Given the frequency of which we carry out this ultimate act, it should be done in compliance with the law, with transparency and deliberateness and care, said Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, who also teaches at the University of Texas. Ms. Levin said it is experimental, a drug that is brand new to lethal injections. Ms. Levin, I have certain words for you that I cannot repeat on this radio show. All I can say is you're ashamed to your ancestors and to your own people, and that you should hide your head in shame. Anyway, this is the country we live in. Now, who did he kill? Foster and his roommate, Sheldon Ward, were convicted of murdering Ms. Powell in 2002. Her nude body was found in a creek bed in a wooded area the next morning. She had been shot once in the head. Ms. Levin, are you listening, Ms. Levin? Ms. Levin, they shot the woman after brutalizing her. The two had met Ms. Powell at Fat Albert's Bar in Fort Worth. Witnesses said the three had chatted there, and that as Ms. Powell drove away, the two men followed in Mr. Foster's truck. Now, shall I go into the details? Anyway, they shot her. God knows what they did to her before it. Mr. Foster said he had taken sleeping pills and was passed out at the time of Ms. Powell's death. You hear this? In a statement on a Facebook page created for this fat slob murderer from hell, Foster has written, quote, I was convicted February of 2004 and am now on death row waiting to die for a crime another man has confessed to. I am not a rich man, nor is my family able to hire the proper lawyers willing to fight and prove my innocence. I do enjoy writing people, so if you'd like to write, please do. I would also like to ask those who pray, please add me to your prayer list. Ms. Levin, I have a few other words for you, but I can't read on the radio. But it's a shame that you wrote this for your client on your Facebook page. But I would say that if sodium pento whatever thol is cruel and inhumane, give him the firing squad in Texas, if that's a little more humane, or hang him. There's no drug involved there. The rope is all American. The rope is probably made in America. The rope is probably not cruel and inhumane. The rope has been tried many, many times. Or bring back the electric chair for this fat slob who killed this woman. Ms. Levin. Ms. Levin, how much money have you made on this case so far, Ms. Levin? Because let me tell you something. If I were president and I had the power, I'd investigate you, Ms. Levin. I'd investigate every lawyer on every death row case in the United States of America going back 10 years. and I'd see how much money they stole from the public, whether it be state or federal, to defend the indefensible. These are the same people who believe babies that are unborn should be executed, but that well-known murderers, rapists, terrorists should be given every reasonable doubt. Why did they do this? Well, it goes back to the red diaper dopa baby that they are. It goes back to the fact that their parents were no doubt lifetime America haters and communists and socialists who poisoned their minds. So in a sense, you could say that these lawyers are not to blame for their psychosis. But at a certain point, everyone becomes an adult, and therefore they become responsible for their own actions. So I would say that they are. Once they get the law degree, they're responsible for what they do. It doesn't matter that they were red diaper dopa babies or RDDBs, raised with parents who are communists, as I say, and then they used too much marijuana along the way, which created a toxic combination, which has resulted in a communist lawyer who has nothing but contempt for the unborn and nothing but love for the mass murderer. Red diaper dopa baby. You understand how this works? Steve in New York, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Big fan. Love your book. I just want to point out a few things, though. The shareholders of GE, we do pay taxes on the profits.
I understand, but why should the corporation get off scot-free?
It's double taxation. It's already, think of it as a lemonade.
Oh, come on. You're pulling my leg. How could you say taxing a corporation for profits earned in the U.S. and then individuals who make money on stock sale, on what are you making it on? You're paying taxes on what part of the GE money?
GE is a lemonade stand, and it sells a lemonade,
Stop it. My dogs are fighting under the desk. They're like two corporate titans. Let me ask you something. Are you suggesting that a corporation should pay no taxes in the United States of America?
To an extent. Hong Kong, certain countries don't have corporate taxations. We already have the highest level of corporate tax anywhere.
So in other words, GE is doing the right thing by paying no taxes.
No, it's not. First of all, GE employees pay payroll tax. GE shareholders...
We're not talking about employees. We're talking about the corporation. I didn't say they should give up all of the $4 billion in profit. If Obama, a good friend of Jeffrey Immelt, is arguing we should all pay our fair share, how does he not see the disconnect between that statement and GE paying nothing?
GE is not sending their kids to public school. GE is not a physical person. You know, GE...
So you're arguing then that corporations should earn their money and pay no taxes at all.
If it's taxed on a shareholder level, corporations really shouldn't pay taxes.
Shouldn't pay taxes.
Huh?
They shouldn't.
They should not, right.
Well, you really believe that?
There's plenty of small businesses. S corporations in the U.S. don't pay corporate taxes.
That's not true at all. S corporations pay almost the same thing as individual income tax. That's nonsense. S corporations are paying almost the same amount as individuals. That's wrong. You're wrong about that.
Not through entity. No, I'm not.
Well, I know an awful lot about that, Steve. S corporations do not evade taxes at all. They're paying full bore taxation.
Taxes. I'm saying on the individuals, members of the S corporation, they pay the taxes otherwise it's double taxation. It's that $100 that I sell when I sell a car.
But you can't argue that a corporation as large as General Electric, which benefits from all of the protections of the United States government, all of the infrastructure that permits it to do its business in the U.S., should be able to pay no taxes. I don't believe that you really mean that.
No, the shareholder pays the taxes on those profits. Like if GE makes $100 in Japan selling nuclear energy, when that money comes to the shareholder, be it a mutual fund or a pension fund.
Can you name any other country in the world that permits any corporation to pay no income tax? I'm not aware of any.
Hong Kong.
Okay, so you'd like to have the Hong Kong-style government here in America?
No. It's even in the U.S., the corporate income tax was always very low, and it's gone up, and higher and higher and higher. But people forget that.
Well, let's talk about Hong Kong for a minute. First of all, Hong Kong is part of China. Is that correct?
I guess, yeah.
Yes, it's now part of it. It was turned over to China quite a while ago. Hong Kong is not besieged by illegal aliens who get free education, free medication, is it?
I don't know.
No, the Chinese know how to deal with illegal immigrants. It's a little different than the progressive view of illegal immigration here in America. So Hong Kong, if you want to use that as an example, which is not a fair example, is certainly not a comparable example. But Hong Kong is not burdened by the same problems that we have here in America, nor are they stressed by the same expenses. But thank you for the call. I don't agree with you at all. Now let's take some more callers on the Savage Nation. Harrisburg, PA. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Savage, for taking my call. I just want to give you your props, your intelligence, and your keen punctuality and keen intelligence, because what you said 3 days ago, other hosts are just repeating it. It's like they listen to your show and do their shows. That's all I have to say, Dr. Savage. Keep up the good work.
Well, I know that I know people listen. I know they listen, and I know they compare. It's like any other product out there, and the fact is talk radio is a product I'm providing to you. And if the product didn't taste good, or if it was a few days old, you wouldn't be buying it anymore.
Savage.